Such a privilege to be able to sing with those guys and come down, travel, and to spend this Memorial Day Sunday with you. In the book of St. Luke, in the 18th chapter, I'd like to read some verses for you, and then we're going to share a little bit from the heart. In the 9th verse, it reads, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So if you read that 9th verse there, it pretty much sets up the whole story that Jesus is going to tell you. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, but they also despised others. The 10th verse reads, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector." Remember, the Pharisee is the most religious man of the day, the most knowledgeable of all the writings, of all the teachings that was already set down in what we now call that Old Testament. We have the religious man on one side, and we have pretty much by the mainstream folks, the most hated man of the day, the tax collector. That tax collector, he basically went out and charged taxes for the Romans out there, and he had purchased a franchise to collect taxes. And so he had a certain amount he had to give back to the Romans, and whatever he could charge over that, that's how he made his money. Tax collectors, the most hated men of the day. The 11th verse, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" The 14th verse reads, "I tell you, this man, talking about that tax collector, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word today. Open our minds and hearts for just a few minutes there, God, that we can simply receive something from you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said, amen, amen. I am here to tell you one thing and one thing only today. I am nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. How many with me on that?
Amen.
Isn't that? Driving down here today, seeing those motorcycles, I felt so good. Every time I turn on a radio and I listen to the internet and I hear, I don't know, somebody told me, I probably missed this. This is probably a campaign year, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Every time I hear those things, I get so worried. I get so worked up. I get so... I am simply here to tell you one thing and one thing only, that I am simply a sinner saved by grace. I am here to talk about Jesus. I am here to talk about what he did for me personally. And I know that under the sound of my voice within this room that he has done so much for so many. We see this Pharisee. We see the man who was so strict in his obedience of the law. He even stated in his prayer, "I give tithes of all that I possess. I fast twice a week. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do." And let me tell you, friend, there's a lot of people out there who are more than willing to tell you what they do and what they have done. I want to hear what Jesus has done. I want to stand far away. And you'll notice here in the scripture, I love this part, says that the tax collector, he didn't even come in close by where the temple was, but he stood far away. He did not take a posture of one who be in the middle and draw attention on himself. But from far away, he simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. Their position was totally different. One who knew everything, supposedly, who lived by the letter of the law, but within their heart, their heart of hearts, had hatred for their fellow citizens. That tax collector who, by knowing the things that he had done, because he had overcharged people, because he was hated by people, but he realized in his heart of hearts that I am simply a lowly sinner. There's a whole lot of people want to do a whole lot of tooting out there. And I am here today to tell you that there is but one way. There is but one way to receive that eternal life. That is through your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not one that you earn. It is not one that you can kind of come in, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. No. Once again, we get back to this A. We are here to celebrate what He has done for us. I think it's very appropriate that we do this on this wonderful weekend because, you know, I just love, when I see those bikers going up there and I think, and I grew up in those Vietnam War times. My dear brother, who last year went to be with the Lord, he joined the Navy because they were all the fellows were being drafted at that time. And my father, I can remember that conversation he had with my brother Paul. He says, "Well, now," he said, "Paul, you're not too swift of foot there. I think you'd be a lot safer on one of those boats than you would be running around those jungles." This is a true story, what he said. My brother then joined the Navy and stayed there for the next 26 years. Very proudly, very, very proudly serving his country. I remember those times and how difficult it was here and how sad things in our past about we had veterans coming back and how they were spat upon and called baby killers and stuff. Some of you I know can remember back in those days and how sad, what a blemish. But I also remember, I also know without a shadow of a doubt, that I serve a God who loves, and who forgives. I am so moved by those many, many veterans. Last night I sat in a restaurant across and had a conversation with a veteran. And he says, "Sometimes I feel a little awkward." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because people come up to me and they say, 'Thank you for your service.'" And he said, "I love that respect they give, but at the same time, I only did in my heart which I felt was right to do. I only did in my heart which I felt was right to do, to serve my country. A country we live in that is not perfect." Amen. The president and I almost got into a conversation yesterday. Don't look at me like that. I teed off at 4:05 yesterday afternoon at Fort Belvoir in a place called Woodlawn. I teed off in the first hole. President Obama was on the 15th hole. For me to get to the golf course was quite an experience. These long, big black cars, Secret Service men all over the place. I don't know if they are protecting him from crazy folks or people like me who have a tendency to stray the ball and hit it offline long distances. I'm not sure. But to think about it, I played on the same golf course as your president did yesterday. I did not hit into him. He did not hit into me. But I love a country. I love a country that we are not judged. We are not judged by the things that you have done. We are simply to be judged by the character in our hearts. And in this book that I have opened, We are simply judged by Almighty God of whether or not we have said, I am simply a sinner saved by grace. Yesterday, early in the afternoon at 12 o'clock down in Alexandria, I had a wonderful wedding. I performed a wedding, and a wonderful young couple, and I hate to tell you my age, but also I married the daughter yesterday and also performed the marriage of the mother, too. So that's kind of making me feel rather old when I was thinking about that yesterday. And it was a beautiful day. The afternoon, if you're down, we were right on the water in Alexandria. And just if you looked down, you saw so many people out because of all these weekends of rain. They were out just celebrating, just making the most of it. About middle of the way through the reception, and the service took place at about 12:30, and then they had a nice little restaurant, and upstairs we had the whole top of the restaurant. The service was there, and we had a wonderful reception. And we looked out the window, and right next to the water there's a street, and in the street there's a storm drain, and as we looked out the window, the water started to rise out of this storm drain. We kept looking up at the blue sky. There was no rain coming out of the sky. And we immediately looked and thought, uh-oh, there's a problem here. And we could see the water rise, first of all, just a few inches in the street, and then it got up just a little higher and got a little higher and it started to spread one way or the other, a little dip in the street there. And people were coming to the window, and you could see the panic, and they started to talk. Oh, my goodness, what's happening there? I sure hope that doesn't get into the basement. I sure hope it doesn't affect my car. It doesn't. And then I saw the joy of the moment. I saw a little girl about that old. From somewhere she came out. And she had one of those little two-wheel scooters. You know, you put one foot on and go. I don't even know what they're called. Do you know, anybody know what they're called? Help. They're what? They're called a scooter. Thank you, Nancy, for that updated information. I called it a scooter, but now that you've verified it's a scooter, it must be a scooter. And she got back, and just one foot going, and off she goes, and right through there she went. And the water came up almost halfway to her knee. Then she came back, and the other way she went. And she came back through it again. And you could see everyone in the restaurant, as we were looking out the window, how everybody's expression changed. You stopped worrying about that car down the basement. You stopped worrying about, you simply enjoyed somebody who really knew how to take advantage of the moment. Christians, I challenge you. I challenge you in this year, in this summertime. You're so fortunate to have these places down here at the wilderness, the campgrounds, we call it there. You have many friends and neighbors that you're going to come in contact with. You'll have cookouts. You'll have picnics. You'll have wonderful opportunities. And if you simply do them in the attitude of joy unto the Lord. If you'll simply do everything that He calls you to do with that thought within your heart that I am simply no more than a sinner saved by grace. I'm tired of churches pointing fingers. I'm tired of people thinking a little more of themselves than they should. Trust me. I am simply a sinner saved by grace. The Pharisee stood and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this tax to collect. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. But that simple tax collector, simply from afar off, beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Kevin, come. And Kevin's going to give you an invitation. It's a very simple thing. He's going to ask you that, have you ever Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever, within your heart of hearts, made that determination, that decision to simply ask, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. I am simply a sinner saved by grace. Brother Kevin, if you'll come.
Thank you, Charlie. Share with these folks.
Here you go.
Thank you. Let me get the lid for you.
All right, folks, every head bowed, please, every eye closed for a moment. And thank you, Brother Charlie. Drive safe going up the road. As Brother Charlie said, we're all just sinners saved by grace. We've all messed up. But there's nothing